Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
I remember getting on my knees at one point and just saying, God, I can't do this. I have nowhere else to turn. I surrender. I give up. I cannot do this myself, Lord. I need you. Please help us.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope,
and power.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I are
a part of it.
We are not.
You're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus asks a question. If you, as bad as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The problem, as we're reminded in James, is that we do not have because we do not ask. It's very American to think we can or we should do things on our own. But what often happens is that we work so hard to do things ourselves, we neglect to ask God for help, often waiting until we're at the end of our rope. That was true for Stephen Brody. He worked hard to provide for his growing family, but it was tough. He often wondered why miraculous provision happened for other people. Then God graciously allowed him to walk through one life experience after another where he couldn't provide what his family needed. That desperation taught him a most valuable life lesson. This is chapter 41 of Epic. Stephen Brody's story.
So we're living in Orange County, California at the time, living in a condominium, and we were blessed with two children. We had a boy and a girl, and of course a lot of people would say, well, you got it right, you don't need any more kids, and so God always has a sense of humor. So we had twins. We ended up having twin boys, and so immediately we went from two kids to four kids. And we then needed a larger vehicle.
It changes a lot of things, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the search began for a van. And we've always been a single-income family. My wife has always been a stay-at-home mom to take care of the kids, and we homeschool our kids. And so where are we going to find a van? And was looking around and was having difficulties. So...
Were you feeling anxious about this?
At that point, I was anxious because, again, trying to find a vehicle that would fit within our price range,
yeah,
because we just can never afford a new vehicle. So we always have to look for a used vehicle. And then how used a vehicle and how much miles on it and how long is it going to last type thing. So, yeah, I got anxious at that point, and then that didn't work out. And so... I just remember my wife, Barbara, she was at home taking care of the little ones, and I was at church by myself. And, you know, oftentimes at church, they ask for prayer requests. And so just on my own, I filled out the prayer request, and I said, our family is in need of a van because we've gone to four, and I pray that God will direct me to a van. Now, when I did that, I expected that, or my thought process was, well, maybe somebody will know someone who has a van. Maybe mm-hmm. somebody they know works at a dealership and will be able to work with me on something. That was my thought. The very next day, I'm at work. My wife gets a phone call from the church. She has no idea that I put in the prayer request. So the church calls and says, Steve wrote in a prayer request at church for a van. And Barbara says, oh, really?
Huh.
And they said, yeah, and we may have one for you. And she's like, well, I don't really know anything about this. Why don't you give Steve a call? Here's his phone number. So gives the phone number, and they call me at work. And as the story goes, they said, there's a missionary family that's been using a van, and they're getting ready to go off sabbatical and go back to Europe, go back in the mission field. So there's this van that's becoming available that we think might fit your needs.
Wow.
And I said, okay, well, that's wonderful. Can you give me details on it? And they said, we don't know everything about it yet. Let's go ahead. We'll find the paperwork, the details, all of that stuff. And I said, yeah. And when you do that, just let me know what you'd like to offer it for, fully expecting that I'm going to pay for this.
Sure.
So I believe it was the end of the day. They called me back and they said it's a, you know, whatever it was, a 1993 Ford Aerostar, white with, you know, such and such 1,000 miles on it. Everything's in good shape. The interior's great, and we'll just give it to you. And I heard that last part, and I was like, what?
Oh, my goodness.
And they said, yeah, we'll just give it to you. Wait, you've got to be kidding me. You don't want me to pay for this at all?
Did you nearly fall off your chair?
I did. And they said, it's in the parking lot. You can come and take a look at it. And so I got off work and I drove over there and I looked at it. And I mean, for a missionary family with however many kids, that van was in pristine condition. Everything was beautiful. And I looked at it and I went, oh my goodness, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
And I called them back and I said, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Are you sure you still don't want to? No, and I think what we ended up doing was I think we ended up giving them, you know, $100 or $1 or something like that, because you have to give something
yes,
to avoid paperwork issues. But that was unbelievable, and we nicknamed the van Heaven Sent.
That's perfect.
Because there's no other way to explain it. That, I mean, it just came from heaven, and it met our needs. And we kept that van longer than we thought, because I think we got it in 2003. In 2005, we moved to Wisconsin, and I went to our mechanic and I said, I need you to do what's necessary to get this van to Wisconsin. If it falls apart as soon as we get there, I'm fine, but just get us there, because we're going to be going through Colorado and high elevations to get there. So he did whatever they could. We got to Wisconsin. Would you believe that van lasted another 3 years?
Oh, my goodness.
And so
– what a tangible reminder, though, for you. Really. I mean, every time you came up against something where you felt anxious, you're getting into a heaven-sent
right?
reminder.
Yeah.
That had to be cool.
I've never had another van so nice as that one. It was it was beautiful. It served our needs so well. And it was – yeah, it was heaven-sent. The only way I can describe it coming into our lives. Mm-hmm. And we were just always so grateful to God every time we drove it. Mm-hmm. And for the years that we had it, it was a phenomenal. And so,
and not just for you, but for your kids, that's a really neat experience for your kids to see too.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, we kept having kids after that. We're, you know, we have 6 kids now. And so that was 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, to then have, I think we had our other 2 kids while we still had that van, and we needed something like that to be able to transport everyone around.
Heaven sent. Wow. So from that point on, you continued to come up against needs in your life where you were forced to trust God, right? More things happen.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough that we had found a beautiful 2-acre farmette in Southwest Wisconsin. And so we didn't really have neighbors around, and the kids had so much room to play and enjoy the outdoors and enjoy 4 seasons. And it was interesting that where we lived, it was considered rural, but we had a bowling alley that was right across the road from us. When we moved there, it was 1 ownership, and we used to walk. We would just walk to the bowling alley, and we'd get appetizers, we'd bowl there, take the kids, and how fun it was. Well, as things would happen, the owners sold, and they sold to a younger couple who wanted to kick things up a notch to generate revenue, and so they had an idea to do outdoor summer concerts. And they didn't give us a warning. You would think that they would have knocked on the door and said, hi, you know, we just bought the bowling alley. We're thinking about doing outdoor summer concerts. What do you think about that? Would that be an issue or a concern or anything like that? No, they just followed through with wanting to do that. we became aware of it, and we knew that that was going to be a problem because the way that the winds blow, the sound of the concert music was going to come directly.
You had a front row seat, huh?
Oh, yeah. and they were going to go till midnight every time. The concerts were going to go till at least midnight, maybe after midnight. And by this time, we had our youngest child, who probably was maybe not even two yet. And so obviously with young children, they need to go to bed early and get their rest, right? Not to mention quality of life for us. So all of those concerns were there. We decided to do the legal route. We went to the local town council because they were submitting an ordinance change to be able to do this. They had to change the ordinance of what the property fell under so they could do this for the business. So we went there, brought the kids, and we were mocked, ridiculed, verbally attacked, laughed at. They were calling us anti-business. They were just saying, oh, you're so cruel. Why don't you want to work with them? And they're such a good young couple. They're just wanting to make it. And you're just being a stumbling block for them. And all these other people who live, you know, this miles away and this miles away and this miles away, they all supported it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the person who lived right next door who would have the most impact on this, they didn't care. So that was a very rough experience to go through. And we were trying to figure out what else could be done about it. We exhausted all options. We then took it to the county level, and the same thing happened. We were just kind of blown off and ha, 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 and mocked at. And I even offered a compromise at one point. I said, well, what if you stop the concerts at 10 o'clock? And they laughed at us, and they said, what, are you crazy? That's when the party really starts. And so we knew at that point we weren't going to get any support whatsoever. So I didn't know what – I figured that was it. There was nothing more than we could do about it. And at the time, I was working in Dubuque, Iowa, which was about 45 miles from where I live. And it was late in the day. I was there in the office all myself, and I started to pray. And I remember sometimes when I would pray, I'd walk around the business, and I would just walk from room to room, and I would just start praying. And on that particular occasion, I started crying. And I don't often cry, but I just was overcome. And I remember getting on my knees at one point and just saying, God, I can't do this. I have tried to protect my family. I have tried to do what is necessary to protect my family and the quality of life. I don't understand why nobody understands. I don't understand the reaction that is happening to us. I have nowhere else to turn. And I surrender. I give up. I cannot do this myself, Lord. I need you to solve this. Please help us.
Sometimes the end of the rope is the very best place to be. God heard Stephen's prayer, and he answered in a most unusual way. Part two of his story is coming up on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. We're really grateful you're listening. If you like today's show, we hope you'll head to our website to check out other episodes, read articles about our guests, and share a podcast with a friend. We believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story. Tell us about yours at myfaithradio.com. You can catch every episode of Epic when you subscribe through iTunes or your favorite podcast player. Today we're hearing Stephen Brody's story. He was a guy who worked hard to provide for his family, but God graciously allowed him to walk through one life experience after another where only God could provide. This is part two of his story.
I remember getting on my knees at one point and just saying, God, I can't do this. I have tried to do what is necessary to protect my family and the quality of life. I don't understand why nobody understands. I don't understand the reaction that is happening to us. I have nowhere else to turn. And I surrender. I give up. I cannot do this myself, Lord. I need you to solve this. Please help us. It was incredible to see what God did. Over that summer, I think they probably ended up doing just one outdoor concert. Because what I could not do myself, God did supernaturally. He sent the rain. And if he...
Literally.
He literally sent the rain. And if he didn't literally send the rain, he sent thunder and lightning enough, early enough in the day and close enough to the time that they would have to set up for the concert, that they either canceled the concerts altogether or they moved them indoors. There's no other way, again, to explain it. I just thanked God every single time. And each week, as there was going to be another concert, right, the weather would be great. The whole week would be fine. And then wouldn't you know it, on that Saturday, the weather would change. It would either start to rain or the skies would get dark and you would start hearing the thunder in the distance. And then when you would see the lightning in the sky, that's when they knew they couldn't continue, because then it becomes a safety issue, right, for them. So God was so good to us. There was no other way to explain it.
Yeah.
It was purely supernatural by his hand and by his grace that he did what we could not do. When you get to that point of total surrender, you just lay it all out there. You just put it all down there and say, I can't do it myself. And that's what God waits for. You know, God wants us to come to him and invite him in, and not just always in the good times, but in the bad times too, because we're supposed to give him praise in all things. The challenge for us is always to praise God in those times of crisis, in those times of challenge. You know, thank you, God, that this is happening, because I know that you are going to get us through, and I know that something better is on the horizon. That's been a very important life lesson.
Have you had experiences since then where God's used that to help you trust him?
I've had things that have happened where there's just no other way to explain it but to say that's God. I went through my most recent experience was before I got hired on in my most recent position in this ministry that I'm involved with right now. And I had been working previously heading up a chamber of commerce, and that position ended, and I was applying for jobs here and there, and I was a finalist for this chamber and a finalist for this chamber, and I figured, okay, I'm going to get one of these, and it wasn't happening. And a radio station nearby, on their own, they contacted me, and they said, you know what, we'd like to create a position for you. And I went and I listened to it, and they said, you can be on air, but there's going to involve sales also. And I've never done sales. I've never done commission or anything like that. And so I was nervous because I've always needed a mm-hmm. salary. And so I thought about it and I prayed about it. My kids and my wife wanted me to do it because it was going to be close by. We weren't going to have to move or anything. And I finally decided, okay, I'm going to go for it. And they pulled the plug on it. The guy who had come up with the idea, he had a change of heart. So I had felt at that point, wow, I blew it. God, was that the door of opportunity? And did I just fail in walking through it? And my family was all disappointed in me. And they said, Dad, why didn't you do it? Now we might have to move still. We don't want to move again. So I remember one night, right after this happened, I was praying and I said, God, I think I blew it. I think that was the job that you had prepared for me, and I didn't do it. And I'm so sorry. Forgive me. What do you want from me, God? Is it ministry? Because if it is, I'm ready. Use me. And that's all God needed to hear. because it wasn't that long thereafter that the ball started rolling with me getting the position that I'm currently employed with. And it was, there's no other way I can explain it. Then again, just opening that up to God and allowing it. And while I was unemployed, you know, you only get so much unemployment insurance. And with six kids, how do you get through? It was incredible to see how God provided for us. We would get, people would stop by the house and they would drop off food for us. I'd be at church and somebody would come up and they would shake my hand and I would feel something that they were giving me in my hand and said, don't look at it, just put it in your pocket till late.
Oh my goodness.
Till you get home. And it either was cash or it was a check. And there was a local church that we didn't even go to. And the pastor contacted me and he said, I'd like to come over and give you something. Okay. He comes over and he gives me an envelope. And he says, I don't want you to open it now. Wait till I leave. But I said, what is this? And he says, we have someone at church who just felt the need to help you out. And I said, but we don't even go to your church. And he said, but we know you and you do a lot in the community and just felt called to help you. And he left. I opened it up. It was a check for $1,000.
I bet that nearly knocked you off your feet.
Well, it did. It did. And I showed it to my wife and she started crying.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just unbelievable. But again, God's amazing timing. The job that I initially was going to be interviewed for was going to move me back to the Southwest United States. But it wasn't going to be for a year and a half. And so the thought was, okay, well, at least we can live here for another year and a half before we have to move again. Well, they offered me the job, but it ended up that the position where I live in this part of the country became available. And so not only was I blessed with getting this position with the ministry, but also in this area, and we didn't have to move. And the kicker was...
Wait, there's more.
The kicker was I was hired on a Wednesday to start on a Monday. My unemployment ended that Friday. So to have that happen where I got hired on Wednesday, unemployment ended on Friday, the job officially started that next Monday, there was no gap of income coming into the family.
You just have this story of, it's really interesting, this storyline of provision over and over and over again. It's really interesting that this has been such a part of your story. So if you look at yourself, let's say way back Southern California, pre-van days, right? And how you looked at provision then and where you are now in your life when needs come up, because you still have needs. It's just life, right?
Yes.
How have you changed through that process?
I have such a frame of reference now of experiences of God being an integral part in our lives and taking care of us that I didn't see back then. I would hear stories from other people. And I would hear that and I would have jealous envy and it would be like, why not me? I'm a good guy. You know, I may not have been the strongest, most devout Christian at the time, but I knew I was on the straight and narrow. So why not? When's it going to happen to us? You know, and I know that that's not the right mindset to have. But then when that started happening, and again, it was at the point of surrender. It was finally getting to that breaking point. That's the main thing. It was, I had to go through the fire and I had to get to that breaking point to then let every guard down and say, okay, I'm vulnerable. I can't do this myself. The macho husband and father can't do this. That's when things changed. I think that's really has had an effect on my walk. It's had an effect on my prayer life. It has certainly strengthened me and has reinforced in me the need to pray, the need, you know, to give thanks. and not to look to God last, but look to God first. I was on the road maybe like several weeks ago, and I was at a church in Michigan visiting, and the pastor had a very interesting theme. He said, "Live at your wit's end all the time." And that really hit me, because the way he described it is, he said, you know, we always want to find solutions ourselves. We always want to take care of things ourselves. And it's only when we are at our wit's end and we have nowhere else to turn, then we turn to God. And if we would live at our wit's end all the time, we turn to God first.
Thanks so much to Stephen Brody for sharing a bit of his life and the lessons he's learned with us today. You know, we would love to hear your story too. Tell us about your chapter in God's great big story on our website at myfaithradio.com. Epic is a team project. Big thank you to Jason Rackow and Ted Ross for help with production. Thanks to Stephen Johnson for our show's theme song. I'm your host, Meredith Foster. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.